Very happy to continue our regular feature on the roundtable entitled Ideas Matter, checking in with the public humanities. It's our chance to check in with the humanities councils throughout our 7-state area to discuss important ideas and why they do indeed matter. This morning, we spotlight Vermont Humanities and welcome them to discuss their fall conference, Music and the Human Experience. Our guest this morning, Sylvia Plum, Director of Communications for Vermont Humanities. Good morning, Sylvia.
Good morning.
Also joining us, Michael Alec Rose, Professor of Composition at Vanderbilt University's Blair School of Music, an author and composer, as well as an award-winning teacher. Rose has studied with Pulitzer Prize-winning composers George Crumb and Richard Wernick, as well as two other legendary mentors, George Rushberg and Samuel Adler. Michael Alec Rose, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
So, Sylvia, how did this project come about of wanting to look at music and the human experience?
Well, we do a fall conference every year, and music is just something that binds people together. We grieve to it. We celebrate to it. We grow up with it. It ties us together when we're in middle school and high school. It's just something that really needs to be explored more in depth. So we are gathering on November 15th and 16th to do just that and look at a number of different topics within music.
I want to talk to Michael specifically about some of these topics, but before I do, Sylvia, when you think of humanities and your mission, how this fits in on so many levels, really?
Well, the humanities are often exploring the arts rather than performing the arts. So we're going to be taking a look at music and the brain. We're going to look at how Stravinsky's Rite of Spring, why it was such a monumental piece in the transformation of modern classical music, and how it affected our culture. The culture of classical music. We're looking at Arabic music, so we're looking at different cultures, historical implications of music, how it affects us on an individual level. So it really fits in because the humanities are so vast and broad. So
Michael, let's invite you into this conversation as a professor of composition. When we talk about the human experience of music and we bring it and we look to dissect that, what do you think is important to note and to explore?
Well, I'm glad that Sylvia mentioned the Stravinsky piece. It is the centenary of that amazing breakthrough, modernist masterpiece of Le Cercle du Printemps, 1913, the Rite of Spring, famously caused a riot in Paris, and but has become such a staple of the repertoire for all symphony orchestras. And I sort of have this weird hypothesis that every generation of composers is trying to sort of compete with the previous generations in getting closer to the psychological truth of human experience. And so much of that tradition creeps into any artist and is sometimes very oppressive. So when Stravinsky thought about his own favorite composers, and he had so many, when he was composing The Rite of Spring, I think it must have been, of course I don't know, but as a composer I feel like I can speculate on this because he's my pal, he's my fellow composer, and he was trying to give the strongest possible sense of what it's like for a Russian person to welcome the spring. And as he said, the spring comes to Russia very violently and very suddenly. And so, of course, there were earlier Russian examples of pastoral music welcoming the spring. Rimsky-Korsakov did it, Mussorgsky did it, Tchaikovsky did it, and he loved all that stuff. But he knew that he had new tools. He had new ways of welcoming the spring, and he must have felt that his way of doing that was closer and more authentic, more psychologically true to what a person would actually experience when that amazing event happened. And that's what I'm going to be talking about in Vermont, too, and that's the link between Beethoven and the Beatles.
When you think about that link, but there are so many links, and how much of you do you think that goes unexplored? Because we always have this, you know, active listening and passive listening, but that we think about the importance and how what the next step is in simply listening to something of what effect and even long-term impact it has on us.
Well, it's a really good question. It's difficult to answer. I sort of live in this ahistorical dream where everything is contemporary to me. I mean, Mozart to me is just as fresh now as the latest Taylor Swift song. And, you know, I'm in Nashville, so I have to mention her.
Sure.
There's no dust at all on any motet of Josquin des Prez. It's all new. All that matters is for us as listeners, for each individual listener, to encounter any music with that feeling that it is as important now as it was at the very moment of its creation. And that's part of my job as a teacher, to make things that are so familiar or old seem stunningly and even terrifyingly new to my students. And it's really fun when that happens.
And Sylvia, when you design this program, how do you see it unfolding? Over these 2 days in November, how do you want people to come into this and explore it and ultimately what they'll achieve in the end?
Well, we hope it's filled with moments like Michael just spoke about, which I like to call those aha moments that you have when something just really pops in your brain about where something's revealed and you're so inspired by it. So we want there to be lots of questions. We want there to be conversation between the scholars that are doing the keynote addresses and the breakout sessions. We want conversation to be happening with the person that you're sitting next to. And we also will have some nice live music for people to listen to. And we have a very well-known pianist in the state of Vermont. He's internationally recognized, who will be performing. We have a banjo player, so who has explored the music of the American South. So we want people to actually be experiencing music and also being able to make connections with each other over music.
Michael, I'm curious, I assume you have taken part in things like this in the past, and I'm curious as to what comes out of them and how people react to the exploring that's going on.
Well, I think in a conference like this, I think one of the most fascinating things is how many different approaches there are to these questions. I tend to be rather theatrical in my approach.
That's allowed.
And yeah, so I'm not really so much as a classroom teacher as I am a thespian. It's very important for me to dramatize the music that we're listening to. But of course, other presentations will be, I think, nicely academic and restrained, and create more of an atmosphere for reflection, which is really good to have that range of experience. I wrote a book called Audible Signs, which is signs that you can actually hear in the music, and that's my whole attitude, that things are so vivid when you listen to a piece of music that there's a constant astonishment going on when you listen to great music, and that's what I like to sort of enact when I give a lecture or a presentation.
When you think about this conference, the most important thing that I take it from it is human experience. And Sylvia, I guess, you know, whether we're talking about music or really anything, that is ultimately what the humanities do, is you explore this human experience.
Yes. I'm sorry. Could you please flesh out that question a little bit?
Sure. My question is that through the human experience, I mean, that's the important part of it. That is ultimately what the humanities and these humanities councils that have been wonderful to discuss with us their projects over time is to delve into that human experience. That's what you're going for.
Yes, which what matters in our lives is the humanities helps to bring that to light and helps us to be able to talk about that with others, and the humanities are an avenue for doing that. Some piece of music may have a very emotional bring a very emotional response to somebody. Somebody else may be looking at it from a very intellectual point of view, so perhaps both of those people will bring new ideas and experiences to each other.
I think it's so cool that you mentioned, Michael, you look at this with the Beatles, because that's such a great example of music that resonates with so many of us, I would say most of us, in some way, shape, or form. And it is, is that an exception, though, right? I mean, the way we react to the Beatles specifically.
Well, it's so interesting. Your questions are so hard that both Sylvie and I always have to begin with, well.
I asked the question because I just, this summer, about 2 months ago, I saw Paul McCartney for the first time. And what I couldn't get over was that, yes, you say to yourself, oh my God, it's a Beatle. But then there's also this, just watching people react to the music and close their eyes and have it bring them to a place. I've never seen anything like that, because they're not reacting to the performer. They're reacting to that music.
Well, my 18-year-old daughter went to Bonnaroo, which is in Tennessee, the festival, and there was Sir Paul singing Hey Jude, which is the greatest rock song of all time. And so that's like going to Sinai to get the law from Moses. It's just the same experience to get that kind of greatness from the man himself. It's of course, I have to be blasphemous about it, because this is the center of my own spirituality. But it's impossible to say why music is great. You can talk about it in terms of technical details or historical importance. You know when music is bad. Like when we were waiting for you for 2 minutes to come on to your interview, you had Muzak here on the phone, and it was really, really bad. So, you might want to think about changing that. The Muzak is really bad, and you know that it's bad. Everybody knows that it's bad. But it's impossible to know why music is great. And
I want to blame that on the conference center and not on us, just for the record.
Oh, okay, all right.
but go ahead.
Yeah, what's the link between Beethoven and the Beatles? That you know that they're both great, and you can try to approach that mystery, but the important thing about it is that it's mysterious, and that's what I want to uphold in all of my teaching.
To find out more information about this incredible project, you can go to the website vermonthumanities.org, vermonthumanities.org. The dates of the conference again, Sylvia?
November 15th and 16th.
November 15th and 16th, and it is their fall conference, Music and the Human Experience, the 15th and 16th of November, and you can find out more information by going to vermonthumanities.org. Sylvia and Michael, I thank you very much for spending time with us. A great pleasure.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.